Welcome to Press A to Play, an exploration of video game music from Northwest Public Broadcasting. Together, we're going on a journey through the world of video game music, which has grown from the beeps and boops of chiptunes in the 80s to the fully orchestrated cinematic soundtracks of today. Get ready to play. Let's press A. I'm Anjali, Wicked Witch Dodia.
I'm Devin, Dracula Gay.
I'm Connor, Red Power Ranger Henriksen. And today we're getting into the spirit of Halloween season with music from games that celebrate the spooky, cater to the creepy, and find fun in the freaky.
Playing scary video games is a Halloween tradition in my house, but really I watch more than I play. Somehow playing games can be even scarier than TV and movies.
Of course, in movies, you're just watching scary things happen to other people. You're just along for the ride. But in a game, you have agency, and it's all happening to you.
Your choices make the scary things happen. You're the one who decides to step into that dark hallway or go explore the graveyard at night.
And that's why I don't play scary video games. I might just be half hiding under the covers for a lot of this episode.
We won't let things get too spooky here. We're trying to have fun, after all. And a lot of scary games are more like cheesy haunted houses where everyone wears goofy rubber masks. They take classic horror concepts like vampires and ghosts and turn them into something playful or adventurous.
With that in mind, we're going to start with the quintessential Halloween game and go ghost hunting with a plumber in Luigi's Mansion.
Wait, is that Luigi humming along?
Yeah, get out of here, you! All right, let's try that again.
Thank you.
That was Luigi's Mansion Stadium as arranged for Mario Super Sluggers. And before that, the original Luigi's Mansion theme, complete with Luigi himself humming along. I think that's how he copes when he's surrounded by ghosts trying to sneak up and scare him.
You know, that's not a bad idea. Maybe I should try it.
When I think of games for Halloween, Luigi's Mansion is at the top of my list. It got just the right blend of spooky ghosts and cartoony fun.
Of course, Luigi's not the only plumber out there hunting ghosts. He and his brother Mario have both been at it for decades.
For sure. Haunted house levels have been a staple of the Super Mario series since the 90s, and they're always packed with one of my favorite Mario bad guys, the Boo.
Thank you.
That was Waltz of the Booze from Super Mario Galaxy, followed by Bonneton from Super Mario Odyssey. This is Press A to Play, and today we're celebrating the spirit of Halloween. I'm Anjali.
I'm Connor.
I'm Devin. Next up, some spooky tunes from a classic Nintendo 64 game about a bear and a bird battling an evil witch.
Gruntilda's Lair, created by Grant Kirkhope for Banjo-Kazooie.
Sounded like a spookier take on the Teddy Bear's Picnic, actually.
Appropriate. This is a game about a bear fighting a witch, after all. Banjo-Kazooie is a classic N64 collectathon and one of my favorite games growing up. As Banjo the Bear and his stork-like sidekick Kazooie, you set out to defeat the evil witch Gruntilda, who's kidnapped your little sister Tootie to try and steal her youth and make herself beautiful.
Sounds pretty wacky and just about right for the 90s.
I'm surprised there was never a cartoon.
It hits all the hallmarks for a 90s platformer, too. You've got a forest level, a snow level, a desert level, a water level, and, of course, a haunted house level.
Does the haunted house level have spooky music?
You know it does. Thank you.
That was Mad Monster Mansion from Banjo-Kazooie, followed by Witchy World from the sequel, Banjo-Tooie. Reminds me of something you'd hear on Halloween while you're out trick-or-treating.
The wolf howling in the background is what really sells it for me.
You know, you just can't have Halloween without the classics. Zombies, skeletons, Frankenstein.
You mean Frankenstein's monster.
Igor, Medusa, the Grim Reaper, and of course, the bat himself.
Batman!
No, Dracula.
Oh.
Of course, there's one game where you can find them all. Castlevania. That was Vampire Killer, arranged by Johan Laulan for the Dead Cells Castlevania crossover. Originally composed by Satoe Terashima for the first Castlevania on the NES. Now that's the game I grew up playing. To me, that intro is synonymous with whipping ghouls and hunting vampires.
But for a lot of people, the definitive Castlevania game didn't come until many, many games later, in the PlayStation era. The series already had an epic premise. Dracula keeps coming back to life with a castle full of monsters in tow, and he can only be defeated by the crack of Simon Belmont's whip, the Vampire Killer.
Fast forward 100 years, and one of Simon's descendants, Richter Belmont, has defeated Dracula yet again. But then, something goes wrong.
They turn the formula completely upside down.
I see what you did there.
In Symphony of Night, we find out that Richter turned evil after winning the battle, and now he's taken Dracula's castle for himself.
Ooh, plot twist.
So instead of playing as a vampire hunter, you take the role of Dracula's rebellious do-gooder son Alucard and use your half-vampire powers to defeat the corrupted Richter.
Wait, wait, wait. Dracula has a rebellious son and his name is just Dracula spelled backwards?
He named himself that, actually, to show he's the opposite of Dracula, see? After his mom got burned at the stake and his dad swore vengeance on all mankind.
That must have been some intense conversation around the dinner table.
Okay, from the prologue to Castlevania Symphony of the Night, this is Moonlight Nocturne.
That was Moonlight Nocturne from Castlevania Symphony of the Night, here on Press A to Play from Northwest Public Broadcasting. I'm Devin.
I'm Angeli.
I'm Connor. All right, so far, all these games have been good, lighthearted fun. Yeah, they're Halloween-themed, but I want to get scared.
Nope. I'm out.
Your loss. We live in a golden age for scary games right now. You want suspense, jump scares, blood and gore, existential dread. There are dozens, hundreds of games out there that hit whatever subgenre of horror you want to subject yourself to.
You know what? We should go back to one of the games that started it all. There's a game on the PlayStation. For me, this was when it all changed, when horror games really turned into something special. Game consoles back then, they weren't very powerful. They couldn't draw a lot of stuff on screen, so a lot of games would only show you the things that were pretty close to you.
I bet I know what you're talking about. See, some games used fog as an effect to help deal with that, so you wouldn't see buildings and characters just pop in. But one game took that fog and owned it, used it to build atmosphere and the fear of the unknown. You could hear the monsters around you, but you couldn't see them until they were right in your face.
Exactly, and that's how they made an experience that would stick with you long after you turned the game off. Of course, we're talking about Silent Hill.
That was Tears Of, and before that, Silent Hill, both composed by Akira Yamaoka for the game Silent Hill.
You know, one of the hardest parts of picking music from horror games is that a lot of it is just creepy ambient noises that vaguely follow a time signature. Silent Hill definitely takes some of the blame for that trend.
And surprisingly, a lot of our music is on vinyl. So when we digitize them for this show, somebody has to listen to the whole soundtrack all the way through.
Oh, is that why some of the interns are complaining about nightmares?
We'll just have to leave the lights on in the studio for them.
Maybe lay off the jump scares, too.
Okay. If anyone wants some ambient anxiety music to take their haunted house to the next level, they can go seek out some of these albums for themselves. We'll skip past all that nightmare fuel, though, to a song titled She. That was She from Silent Hill by Keiichiro Toyama and developer Team Silent, music by Akira Yamaoka.
We can't start talking about Silent Hill without bringing up the sequel, Silent Hill 2.
The first game did a great job building the setting and visual style, but the second game's story, it still haunts me decades later.
Yeah, the basic premise of the series, the town of Silent Hill was the home of a cult who attempted to perform eldritch rituals to summon a demon god, and that turned the town into some sort of nightmare purgatory.
The place is constantly shifting realities. Usually it's an empty ghost town enshrouded in a thick fog, but sometimes it becomes a dark, nightmarish reflection of itself, full of monsters manifested by the sins and regrets of those trapped there.
And of course, if you're a normal person, it's a lovely little resort town on a lake. Tourists love it.
I think I'd rather take a staycation.
Thank you.
That was Promise the Reprise from Silent Hill 2. Akira Yamaoka returned after the first game to compose the soundtrack for the sequel as well.
Where the first Silent Hill was mostly about cult activity and eldritch horrors, the sequel takes a more personalized approach. James Sunderland visits Silent Hill after receiving a letter from his wife urging him to find her there, even though she died 3 years ago.
Ugh, creepy.
It only gets creepier as the game goes on. You learn more about James and a handful of other people he encounters while searching the town, each one having been brought there by some deep inner trauma that's unraveled over the course of the game. That last song plays during a very memorable scene with one of those characters, Angela.
From what I've heard, the game tackles some pretty heavy themes, especially for a game from the early 2000s.
Yeah, it has more in common with a David Lynch film, really, complete with some very surreal voice acting performances.
It's nuanced and emotional, and it's got some of that interactive storytelling that video games do so well. As you play, it's quietly tracking dozens of subtle behaviors you take as the player.
Yeah, like look at a photo of your wife for too long, let James get injured too often, pay too much attention to the pretty woman in the short skirt. A bunch of different things like that can affect the game's outcome.
And you have no idea it's happening. For a long time, a lot of players didn't even know the game had different endings. Back then, it was a lot harder to track down that kind of info on the internet. You only found out by talking to friends who'd also played the game.
So up next, our last song from Silent Hill 2. This is True. That was True from Silent Hill 2, a song that plays near the end of the game when James finally learns the truth about his wife. What is that truth? Well, you're just going to have to play the game to find out. I know I won't. Too scary for me.
But scary is what it's all about today on Press A to Play. I'm Connor.
I'm Devin.
I'm Angeli. And today we're listening to spooky music from Scary Games to celebrate Halloween. Some studios have capitalized on the success of horror movie franchises to make some heart-pounding games. For example, Cold Iron Studios, Aliens, Fireteam Elite.
This has all the hallmarks of an Aliens movie, but of course, instead of watching Ellen Ripley kicking butt, you are playing the hunter and the hunted.
Fireteam Elite has you playing as a Marine on board a spaceship, part of a team that answers distress calls from outer colonies, one of which has been overrun by the titular aliens, the Xenomorphs. You discover that the station there has been breeding Xenomorphs, and they escaped.
As they always do.
Yep, yep, sounds just like one of the Alien movies.
Complete with facehuggers.
Now, Fox was smart enough to bring on Austin Wintory to compose the soundtrack. As a fan of the movie trilogy, he composed a soundtrack that was reminiscent, but not derivative, of the great Jerry Goldsmith and Jack Horner movie scores.
So, plenty suspenseful, is what you're saying.
Yep, suspenseful and action-packed. Here's Into the Hive and In the Pipe by Austin Wintory for Aliens Fireteam Elite.
Thank you.
Into the Hive and In the Pipe, from Austin Wintory's Grammy-nominated score to Aliens Fireteam Elite.
Fun fact, In the Pipe is named after a little bit of military lingo from the movie Aliens. In the Pipe 5x5 was a throwaway line they used when they first landed on the planet, but somehow it reverberated out from that 1986 film and became a meme. So now you hear it in games everywhere, from StarCraft to Titanfall.
Oh, I just knew it from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
The whole vibe of the Aliens series, this game included, makes me think of, like, industrial metal rock. So it seems fitting that the Seattle-based game sound designer Ina Almasen made this remix of Left Upwell. That was Left Upwell, as remixed by Ina Almasen for Aliens Fireteam Elite.
All right, let's leave the monsters, aliens, and zombies in the past and get back into my comfort zone with something from Stardew Valley.
Technically, Stardew has zombies.
They're actually mummies.
They look more like skeletons to me.
Are mummies and skeletons just a subclass of zombie?
I think they're all a subclass of undead.
Okay. While we sort out the classification of undead monsters, have a listen to the music from Stardew's take on Halloween, the Spirits Eve Festival.
Thank you.
That was the Spirits Eve Festival from Concerned Ape soundtrack to Stardew Valley. The festival is the Stardew version of Halloween.
All right, I've got one more pick for you guys. This is from the game Kingdom Hearts 2, where players visit a variety of different places from different Disney franchises. Of course, that includes the king of all Halloween movies, The Nightmare Before Christmas.
What? No, I fundamentally disagree. That is not a Halloween movie. It's a Christmas movie.
But wait, no. This is literally the song that plays in Halloween Town. It's called This Is Halloween. You can't get more Halloween than that. That was This Is Halloween, as arranged for Kingdom Hearts 2 by Yoko Shimomura, originally composed by Danny Elfman for the classic Halloween movie.
Christmas movie.
Thanksgiving movie?
The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Is Oogie Boogie a zombie?
He's made of bugs. I don't think that counts.
That's it for us here today on Press A to Play. I'm Devin.
I'm Connor.
I'm Anjali. Press A to Play is a production of Northwest Public Broadcasting. Research and editing by Lyric Kano. Original theme music by Austin Schlichting. You can find out more at nwpb.org/press A. And from all of us here at Northwest Public Broadcasting, we hope you have a safe and happy Halloween.
In the pipe, 5x5. Yeah.